Around 10 million American women use oral contraceptives like the pill, and millions more use other hormonal contraceptives like IUDs. And now a new study from researchers in Denmark shows that hormonal contraceptives like these may slightly increase the risk of breast cancer. The study followed 1.8 million women over more than a decade. It's a large study, but Dr. Nancy Stanwood says women and their doctors should keep the results in perspective.
This is not a reason to stop birth control, and that would be really going out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Nancy Stanwood is associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology and the head of family planning at the Yale School of Medicine.
I think the main take-home is that no woman should abruptly stop her hormonal birth control because of this study. And that's because, while there is a slight individual increased risk, the absolute chance of this happening is still very, very small. When we look at risk, we look at something called a risk ratio. And we get impressed when risk ratios are more than two, really more than three. It would be an impressive kind of risk ratio to come out of a study like this. And in this study, the risk ratio is 1.2. And let's translate that into real numbers for real women. If you had 100,000 women who were not using hormonal contraception over the course of a year, 55 would be diagnosed with breast cancer. If you had a similar 100,000 women who were using hormonal contraception over the course of a year, 68 would get breast cancer. So the individual risk goes from 55 in 100,000 to 68 in 100,000. So that's 13 more cases per 100,000 women. And while that's a 23% increase, it's still only a risk of 68 per 100,000. So again, the individual risk is quite small.
Now, you're describing a situation where a 23% increased risk sounds like a lot, but for a very, very rare event, even if it were double the risk of a very rare event is still a rare event.
Exactly. Think about it. If you had the risk of getting struck by lightning and then your risk of getting struck by lightning went up, it still wouldn't keep you from going out and walking around in the world. I think one other data point that was interesting to me when I was reading some background for this is looking at what are some other risks for breast cancer and what are their associated relative risks. And there have been studies looking at night shift work for people, for women who work the night shift as opposed to the day shift. And the risk ratio for night shift work is 1.48. So there's a 40% increased risk of breast cancer if you work the night shift compared to if you don't. But the absolute risk is still very small, and we're not telling women to stop working the night shift.
So, Dr. Stanwood, you've sort of described the perspective on individual risk here. Still, this is a significant and a real signal. Talk about how you interpret this on the population level, because even though women shouldn't stop taking their hormones, you say, it's not something I would imagine that you want to ignore.
No, and I think that we'll have patients coming to us with this publication and information about it in the news, and here's how I approach that conversation with my individual patients. I would look at her overall life goals, why she wants to take contraception, what's the right contraceptive method for her, and talk to her about what her individual risk would be and how it would be different. I think the other overarching thing to remember is that the known benefits of hormonal contraception are very well established and really, really big. Women are healthier when they can plan their pregnancies. Women are healthier on contraception because it also has non-contraceptive benefits. Hormonal contraception decreases the risk of uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer. It treats conditions like severe cramps, like heavy periods that lead to anemia. It decreases the risk of diagnosis of pelvic inflammatory disease. So there are very well-established benefits, both contraceptive and non-contraceptive, of these medications, and that should never be forgotten.
There have been concerns about birth control pills before, for years, in fact, and an increased risk for breast cancer. That finding isn't new, but lower dosages that are available now were supposed to mitigate the risk, and I suppose they have mitigated it, but a lot of people might have thought that the risk was gone, including physicians.
You're right. This adds to the established literature about the slightly higher risk of breast cancer on hormonal contraception. And in particular, as you said, it is with modern formulations with lower dose of estrogen and also with progestin-only methods. So that this does add to the literature, but it doesn't really shake it up.
Dr. Stanwood, would you please describe any relationships, financial relationships that you have with device manufacturers or drug companies that make hormonal contraception?
Yes, I do FDA-mandated training for certain contraceptives for physicians who are learning how to insert them. And I also serve on a safety advisory board for a pharmaceutical company that manufactures hormonal contraception.
And you receive payment for those activities?
Yes, I do.
Dr. Stanwood, before we let you go, talk about exercise, talk about alcohol, and talk about cigarettes, if you would.
So this study was able to control for some other factors that we know can be risk factors for a diagnosis of breast cancer. But because it was a large population-based study, they couldn't go and ask each of the 1.8 million women all of their health habits. So that it does not adjust for the things that we don't know from the women is what was their history of breastfeeding, of the age of onset of their first period, what their alcohol consumption was, and what their exercise regimens were, because all of those things can affect the risk of breast cancer, so that those confounders are not fully measured. I think one of the other points to take is that when we talk about scientific studies that happen in one population, we want to know, can we apply them to our population? Should this affect how we would counsel or treat women in the United States? And there's some question as to, you know, what's the background risk of breast cancer in the Danish population compared to in the American population, given that the healthcare system is different, lifestyle habits are different, and the genetics of the population are going to be different. I think one other thing that I would hope that people could take away from this is that, you know, as a physician, I wouldn't want to see this kind of study almost weaponized against women who want to control their fertility. I think oftentimes there's this fear of, oh, if you do something that controls your fertility, bad things will happen. Like, no, controlling fertility is fundamental for women's health. Otherwise, they would be perpetually pregnant. That's what our biology really wants of us. So that I think it's important for women to recognize the known benefits of contraception, to be able to plan their lives, plan their healthy pregnancies, and avoid other health problems. And that while this risk is slightly up, the individual risk is still exceedingly small and not a reason to abruptly stop birth control.
Dr. Nancy Stanwood, head of family planning at Yale. Dr. Stanwood, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.